This is Pat Tomlinson, and I'm talking with Dr. Jim Smart, research and teaching agronomist with Ag Spectrum. Jim is working at his home office on his farm near La Harpe, Kansas. Jim, I want to talk with you about Service Check 2 and helping our dealers prepare for it. I do want to begin, though, with a reminder of how important the infield service checks are if a dealer wants to differentiate himself or herself from other sources of fertility products. If we want to be seen differently by our customers, we have to be different. The reality is that most salespeople who want to write up a product order will rarely show up to look at their fields when both successes and problems can be seen and evaluated unless they're called to look at a problem.
So before we talk about the actual service check visit, Jim, is there anything that the dealer should be doing to prepare for the visit?
Yes, there are several things, actually. The dealer can review what fields he's going to look at, and it might be important to look at the soil maps for zones. And if there's some areas that appear to be deficient or there is likely a problem, it'd be a good time to decide, well, we want to look at that specifically to see if we've been able to overcome that challenge, whatever it might be. Or maybe if we did some changes from last year with soil or drainage, we want to look and see if that's having an effect yet on our early crop stand or what the crop looks like early. There's some things the dealer will need to prepare with what he needs to bring with him to do the field checks. And although we can step off areas in field, really a tape measure is the best way to do that. So bring a tape measure so you get an accurate assessment on populations, probably a shovel or spade and a sharp knife so that we could look at roots, and if there's a problem, you could cut that. And be sure to bring either a camera or a phone with a good camera. Many times growers forget later in the season how things were early, so if we can take pictures and show the grower, you know, we had an issue but we resolved it, then it helps them to remember, you know, what they need to avoid to have those same issues that in the future.
I think checking for degree days that we've experienced in that local area, boy, you can get online and find a lot of good degree day calendars, and you know the windows of planting in your area probably, and a guy can check and talk about just exactly how many degree days they've had to look at emergence and see how close that is to expectation. So there's a lot of things that I think a guy can do to prepare to be in a better position to go talk to the customer.
You're exactly right, Pat. And one of the things I've seen several times with corn, we see some spotting or yellowing spots on the leaves. And if we had a history of the weather, we may find that we had some freezing temperatures and maybe some rain or ice, and those spots are caused from a short-term freezing or ice where it didn't kill the plants or turn it black, but it certainly discolored the plants or kept them from being the color that we would expect for when they're young like that.
Yeah, if you're walking out there at closer to VE, you know, probably everybody will kind of remember the weather over the last 2 or 3 weeks, but when you get a little later into that V3 or V4 stage, a lot of stuff's been going on.
And sometimes people don't even know that they had slight amounts of hail on that field because it didn't hail where they live.
That's
but,
true.
I've recently been in some fields that were hailed, and the hail tattered some leaves and didn't destroy them, but certainly broke the midribs on some young corn leaves and broke cotyledons on the soybeans. And if you weren't aware that it was hail, you may think there's something else going on there.
Sure.
But knowing the past weather events that occurred in the area can be very helpful.
Well, when we do actually make the farm visit, is there anything that we should do to set the stage with the grower and before we actually go into the field?
A very good thing is to talk about what populations were you striving to achieve, and did you test your seed before planting to see what your cold germs were. find out some information about what he was trying to do as far as population and uniformity, and then we can evaluate if he was able to achieve what he tried to do or if there's some gaps there that can be addressed. And maybe the planter looked fine, everything was fine in the shop, but when you get to the field, it's throwing doubles, or there's other things going on, and you can discuss how that happens and why, you know, you can avoid those if you're prepared for it.
I think basically it can kind of come down to just seeing if he actually did what you thought he was going to do before planting, or if there was any problems or things that caused him to make adjustments to plans after planting got started. And that can sure help you interpret what you do see when you go to the field with them, I think.
That's right, and even asking questions about seed size or seed shapes, whether he was planting flats or rounds on corn or even soybeans. Certainly the treated seed may not flow as well as non-treated seed through some planters anyway, so you can ask him, was it treated seed or not, and what corn was planted? Was it flats or round, medium flats? And those questions can help with evaluating the crop stand later.
Sure. Well, you know, the purpose of the service check when we start to actually step into the field, as stated on the form, is to assess the stand in emergence as well as the implementation of the on-planter program, and also discuss the customer's management plans for the vegetative growth stage. So let's start with that first part. What should we be looking for when we walk into the field to make an assessment? Should we have a plan about where to go in the field to check, or should we ask the grower where he thinks there may be issues?
Well, we certainly should ask the grower where he thinks there might be an issue, whether it was moisture or lack thereof or something else going on. But we should look at also some areas in the field that would be representative of most of the field. And our soil zones from our maps that were taken for soil samples earlier can probably help us to determine where some of those better zones are and some of the poorer zones. And maybe we would want to look at both to see if the organic matter or pH is making a difference for us.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, I think, to use the STMZ zones. Because we know that's how we're going to look at yield data, to look at the conditions within each of those zones, or maybe, as you say, within some of the areas that we know are chronic trouble spots or chronic high yielding areas, to kind of see what we can correlate in terms of what we see with the results.
Yes, and one example recently, I was in a cornfield where the corn had emerged and was about at the second leaf stage, and all the corn within 100 feet of the gravel road was pale or lime green or even yellow tinted, whereas further away from the road, the corn was dark green. And right away, I questioned him about his prior herbicide use the prior year and found out that he had used chlorimuron on his soybeans the prior year, and it was apparent that the residual herbicide was affected by the pH, which was elevated near the gravel road. So that was causing the color difference that we were seeing. And he had a great stand, but the corn just looked pale and yellow, and it came back to the prior herbicide use. And the grower said, well, I never even thought about that being an issue this year. I, you know, was worried about what I'm doing this year, not last year. But sometimes little things like that can be very helpful to know what this, not only this year's herbicides, but what was used the prior season.
Yeah, that is not only a good example of the impact of pH, but I think also a good example of a practice we should almost always have, which is to walk in the field far enough to get away from the edge of the field where, you know, there may be a lot of different things going on, whether it's compaction or lime piles or other things that maybe get come into play when you're on the end rows. So when we do pick a spot to try to evaluate, what are the specific things we should be looking for or looking at?
Well, not only we need to take stand counts, but we want to look at uniformity also, uniformity of emergence, because we can have a population that seems okay, but if we have some gaps that are 1 or 2 foot gaps, that can be pretty problematic, particularly with corn, because you can't make up now the lack of that. Where if soybeans have a gap, soybeans are more likely to bush out or branch out and cover some small gaps. But with corn, you just lose that opportunity to set an ear in those locations. So it's more critical with corn to have uniformity in spacing as well as emergence. And really, if there's corn that's emerging 2 or 3 days difference, it can make quite a difference in the final outcome on the crop. So emergence as well as the final population.
Should we try to go to multiple spots in a field to make sure that we don't draw too big of an impression based on a single spot or a single row on a planter?
Oh, certainly. We should probably be looking at our soil maps and try to look at some of the best areas in the field and then go to some that the producer might think are problematic in past history. And that may be because of a wet area or a soil type change where we're some farms, they're actually farming subsoil, and look at that area also, because most fields have some areas that are less than the best.
Yeah, I think it's probably always a little bit of a balancing act in terms of the time that the customer has available to spend with us, but you know, how much time we spend in, you know, maybe one or two fields to really kind of demonstrate the way to evaluate the field correctly and in a way that's really going to be helpful later on in analyzing results, versus the idea that I want to go to several different fields with them, or as many fields as I can, and you know, that is going to be a little bit of a balancing act, and that's going to probably differ with each customer and his concerns about different fields.
And that's where just asking the customer, are there other fields that you have a concern with that maybe we can look at, or do you have a area that's like your best field and one that you thought were problematic, and why? And it could be because it was cloddy ground or it dried out more or whatever it is, and perhaps it's a weed problem in that field and he was late controlling those weeds and they've dried the field out. So ask the farmer what he feels were the challenges.
How about insect pests or insect damage that we should be alert for?
The biggest problems with insects are when we're planting into cover crops, and particularly planting green. And we've had several producers this year that grew cover crops in the fall and winter, and they planted green and then terminated the cover crop after they planted. And I like that system, but sometimes we have insects that are feeding on the green plants, and once you terminate the cover crop, the insects move to the only green substance that's left in the field, which would be our emerging crop. So that's important to evaluate. Are there insects, chewing or biting insects, or feeding insects? Is there leaf damage? Is there root damage? And that's where we need a shovel and make sure we want to look at the roots too. Because sometimes you can't see those insects in the middle of the day. They feed in cooler times or at night. So look at the leaves. Are there holes or spots? Are there stems that are chewed on? And if that's the case, it may be that we can put an insecticide on at this point and control that, or it may be that we would want to add one at planting other fields in the future so we don't have that same problem again.
Yeah, I think it's probably would be a good thing to kind of familiarize yourself if you don't have that committed to memory of kind of the common pests and how do I identify them, what they look like, and I'm thinking maybe of carrying a field scouting guide with you. There's some small pocket guides I know Purdue and I think Iowa State each put out that could be really useful in you know, identifying a wireworm and wireworm damage and grubs and what grub damage looks like on the roots, just some of the basic things, and recognizing that there's not much that can be done about wireworms or grubs after planting is over. But on some things like cutworm, you know, there is a possibility of doing some rescue treatments, although they're maybe a little uncertain in their efficacy. But just kind of familiarizing yourself with those two or three or four most common pests that are experienced in your area would be good.
You're exactly right, because if a producer says at the end of the season, well, I've used your nutritional program and I didn't get any difference in yield, if you have documented that insects affected this field early and affected the growth and even the population, then that would account for why he's not seeing differences, whereas the field he compared it with may not have had those problems. So documenting and showing the producer at this point will help him to understand that maybe if there are or are not differences in populations where he has not used a superior nutrition, it's due to insects or something else and not just the nutrition.
Yeah, as we talk about the all the various issues that you might see, I want to maybe go back and reemphasize something you brought up early on, and that is taking pictures. That is really something you need to get in the habit of doing as a dealer when you're out with your growers in their fields. Those pictures can be not only potentially very useful to you in helping describe the issues that you're seeing to other customers, but they can really be helpful in reminding the grower what you saw at this point. And sharing those pictures with the grower as a follow-up. Yeah, and we've been talking a lot about the negative things we might see on the service check, and that's important to be prepared to identify them, because helping the customer understand where there are opportunities for improvement is an important part of how we want to work with them and how we want to help them. But we also want to recognize that hopefully a lot of what we see will be where things went right, and that we do want to make sure and that the grower does see hopefully the vigorous growth that he's seeing where he's used our products, and see the uniform emergence where we've helped him set the planter correctly. We want to congratulate him for what he's done right so far and how well things have went where we are seeing good results, and look forward to what we can do over the next couple of months to maximize results.
Oh, that's so correct, Pat. And also, not just what is above the surface, but looking at roots and showing the grower, you know, if the soybeans are the third trifoliate and they're already setting nodules and have a massive root system, it can be pretty exciting to see a huge root system on such a small plant, where the grower knows that in the past, without a superior nutritional program, he did not have roots like that early. And it's okay to talk about that early root system and how important it is to setting the stage for optimizing our crop yield later.
And really emphasizing where the crop looks good and how far along things have gotten in a positive way in terms of the root system and establishing potential is really an excellent way to lead into the other goal of Service Check 2, and that's talking about what we can do over the next few weeks to maximize yield potential. And in a lot of times, that's going to mean with corn, it could mean reminding him to get the side dressing done. At V4 is probably about the time a lot of guys would start side dressing with anhydrous to make sure that gets done correctly. But also to be thinking ahead of about foliar applications, getting product on order, having it on hand so that when he's ready to pull the trigger, and that estimate of 2 or 3 weeks before pollination always sneaks up on us a little quicker than we think it will.
Right, and at Field Check 2 is a very good time to talk with the producer about the herbicides he's used already and the potential to use Glycure to help improve his root and shoot growth in the crop, and how Glycure can be very beneficial to the crop. So just discussing that at this point, even though he's maybe not ready to put the Glycure on today, but he can be prepared to put that on when it's needed.
Well, we've taken a lot of your time so far, Jim, and we probably should prepare to wrap up. Is there anything else that you'd like to mention before we do?
There was one other thing I wanted to say, Pat. If there's something in the field that doesn't look right, maybe the plants are pale or yellow, or they look like they've kind of stalled out or stunting, there's probably a reason for that. And that's when you want to investigate a little bit further and quiz the producer about what was used in the past as far as amendments to the soil or herbicides. And that will really help to determine why that's an issue. And maybe it's a time to say, you know, if we have, for example, soybeans that are yellow and pale, maybe it's a time where we need a foliar nutrition to stimulate that crop and get it growing rapidly like it should be. So it's a good time to point those things out and ask more questions about the history, as well as talk about foliar nutrition and how it can snap that crop out of a stunting phase or a stall phase and get it actively growing again.
One thing I think is kind of good to keep in mind too, but sometimes we can get so focused on individual plants and individual plant symptomology that we don't take the time to really step back and look at the field for patterns, because sometimes that can be as useful as anything in determining the cause, is seeing what sort of a pattern you see across the field in terms of an expression of whatever the issue is, whether it's in low areas or high areas or wheel tracks or a certain row on the planter, all those types right. of things that might help you out.
You're exactly right, and sometimes it's a compaction issue, sometimes it's a residual herbicide carryover issue, and sometimes it's just a low spot in the field that maybe was cooler than the other areas. But asking questions about the past, what was applied to that field 1 or even 2 years ago, can be helpful in determining why the crop looks pale or stunted or not growing like you think it should be.
Yeah, even though the that early growth stage, that VE to V4 time frame is probably as easy as any time to get a good overview of the field and see those patterns, it's still not always easy because there are a lot of things going on that are residual factors from prior years as well as things that happened this spring to sort out.
Oh yes, that's exactly right.
Well, Jim, again, I really appreciate you taking the time to visit with us. We will, I'm sure, be in contact with you as the season goes along, and thank you in advance for being the resource that you are to our dealers as they get out in the fields and maybe have some questions about things that they aren't sure about.
Okay, very good. Nice to talk with you again, Pat.